Seeming to sense his reticence to talk, Heather turned all businesslike. Not that I think you'll need it, but here's a map of camp and our list of available activities. Dinner's at 6, and we're having an opening night dance at the boathouse at 7:30. He'd rather be shot. But he took the handouts and thanked her before turning toward the Jeep for his gear. Oh, Hudson, I need your phone.
Sorry?
We're banning them for the retro session. This is a technology-free zone.
Not happening, Heather.
You don't strike me as the type who'd be addicted to Candy Crush.
I've got family in the hospital. They need to be able to reach me if things take a turn for the worse.
Her smile faded. Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, keep it then. But I'll warn you, reception is spotty at best.
Noted.
Charlie, whom he had dim memories of from years before as someone they'd short-sheeted once, wasn't at the cabin when Hudson arrived, though he'd already claimed the right side for his own. The cabin was still rustic in appearance, but the Tullys had done quite a bit more than spruce the place up. Instead of the old-school bunk beds with room to sleep 8, there were only 2 twin beds with quality mattresses, already made up with real bedding, instead of lying bare and waiting for a sleeping bag. Hudson shoved the one he'd brought beneath the bed. The bathroom was small but functional, with hotel-style towels and travel-sized toiletries. They definitely hadn't had AC back in the day. Curious despite himself, he headed out to see what else had changed in the past 17 years. The lodge was the most obvious difference. A grand structure of wood and stone, he'd read that it now housed 5-star dining with an honest-to-God chef in residence, along with conference rooms, staff quarters, and luxury suites. Hudson guessed there was a market for those kinds of amenities, but he hoped there'd be some straight-up burgers cooked over a campfire while he was here. He was more a pot of chili kind of guy, or he could go for a vat of spaghetti, served family-style around the long table at a firehouse. Not that he'd been doing any of that lately, either. They'd added a ropes course, a big, sprawling labyrinth of ropes and platforms. It was the kind of setup that looked more intimidating than it actually was. Climbers would be strapped into harnesses and attached to guide wires the entire time. Probably the liability insurance for the place wouldn't allow for anything else. But still, he'd check that out at some point. Maybe he'd see if they had gear for some rock climbing, too. That kind of physical exertion suited his desire to push himself to exhaustion in hopes of maybe sleeping. He might not be out with his company, but he'd kept himself in top shape since he recovered from the fall. The wooded trails crisscrossing the grounds felt the same, as did the long pier that branched off to the boathouse. Hudson could see racks of kayaks and canoes. He followed the pull toward the water. The gentle lap of it against the wooden piling soothed his nerves a bit. He had definite plans to grab one of those kayaks and disappear. There were countless inlets to explore along the length of Lake Wauwatosa. He might even do some fishing while he was here. Fish didn't talk, or expect you to talk back. He figured that made for much better therapy. As he started to turn back toward camp proper, he caught a flash of fire. A woman strolled along the bank on the other side of the lake, her face tipped up to the sunshine, a gorgeous fall of red hair rippling in the breeze. From this distance, Hudson couldn't see her face, but he knew she was smiling. Everything about her posture suggested absolute peace. He found himself watching until she disappeared into the trees. Shaking off the vague ripple of envy, Hudson decided to curtail the rest of his tour. Better to unpack and settle in before dinner, get a little quiet. He'd have to deal with people soon enough.